I could sing that hymn every Sunday. If you're here today and you're saved, to God be the glory. For it's by grace that you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It didn't come from you. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And so, by the grace of God, we're gathered here this morning, believing that Christ has died for our sins, and we have been given an unspeakable gift. I often wish that I could express my joy and my thanksgiving to the place where you too could experience it. I don't know. I don't want to. When I was coaching, I never thought any of my players wanted to win as bad as I did. And I sort of feel that a little bit here, and maybe that's really unfair, but I don't know if any of you appreciate the grace of God as much as I do. I wish you all appreciated it more than I do. I wish that you all rejoiced in it every day and that your lives were filled with that grace and with the joy that comes from knowing Christ. And then to really trust in the sovereign grace of God that brought you to Him. Like it said in this passage, and we'll address it in a little bit, but He blessed us in Christ. He chose us in Christ. He predestinated us in Christ. It's in Christ that we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It was according to God's good pleasure. It's all about what God has done for us. And that's why God should get all the glory. And I'm still growing in this process. But how thankful I am for that grace and the truth of His Word, that we can set our affections on things above. That we don't have to be all bent out of shape over political issues. We don't have to be bent all out of shape about Obamacare. We don't have to be bent all out of shape about anything. Because we can, as Paul says, "Now to Him who is able to establish you by my gospel." When we are established in the gospel of the grace of God, all those things in the world become less and less of an issue. It's not that they're not important. I don't mean to convey that. We need to have means to survive and live in this world while we're here. But our goal should not be to live here forever. That was Israel's goal. Our goal is to be caught up to be with our Lord in heaven, where our citizenship is. If you've trusted Jesus Christ today as your Savior, your citizenship is in heaven. And we're waiting for our Lord and Savior to come to take us off to be with Him in the twinkling of an eye. And that's where we should be thinking and looking too. So all this stuff that's happening here, in between there, we don't start looking at that. Remember Peter, when he bid Jesus to bid him to come, and he stepped out of the boat and he could walk on the water, and then he heard the wind and he saw the waves and he got caught up with all the things around him. He lost his focus and he started to sink. And I can guarantee you that we too, when we lose our focus, when we lose our riches of God's grace in our everyday life, then we too start to sink. And don't get me wrong, I don't think that I don't sink once in a while too. But for the most part, I am so thankful. My life used to be, before I was a believer and early on in my early childhood in Christ, I was still pretty much caught up in my world and in my life. And I thank God through the years, He just lovingly and carefully but effectively pried more and more my fingers away from material things and from earthly things. And so I pray that you're there also. I mean, we need to be good stewardships, good stewards of what God has provided for us. We need to be good laborers in whatever God has called us to. I'm thankful that I consider myself retired. I don't consider this as a job. It's just my life. But for those of you that still have to work and make meaningful gain and take care of your family or whatever else that is, you need to do that as unto the Lord and not as unto men, and to trust Him in all those things. But none of this on this earth compares with the gift of eternal life, the gift that God freely gives to all who will trust in His Son. And so as we prepare our hearts for communion today, that's what I would like you to start to get your mind around, is how blessed you are to the praise of His glory and His grace. And so the wages of sin, each one of us were there at one time, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so this gift is our present possession. We have eternal life already. As far as God is concerned, we died with Christ at the cross. And the life that we're living here on this earth, as far as He's concerned, only that which is done through Him and by Him for His glory is of any value. He's not interested in any of the streets that are named after great people. I don't believe He's interested in any of the statues or anything else. He's interested in His chosen people, the ones that He predestinated to the adoption of children. And I'm of the opinion that there's a lot of those out there yet that don't even know that they've been predestinated to the adoption of children. And we have the privilege oftentimes to just share in that process in some way by sharing the simple gospel of salvation. And we're going to read that in just a minute. But this amazing grace of God that brings salvation is found only through the name that we're not politically correct to talk about. Isn't that foolish? That's what we read in Corinthians about the foolishness of this world. We just heard it expressed again today. We can talk about God, but we can't talk about Jesus Christ. And to us, I pray that that will never be the case. It will be like Paul, whether it means living or dying. It doesn't make any difference. Jesus Christ is our life. And we need to embrace that wholeheartedly. And we look forward to the day in which we will go to be with Him. And if our testifying to that should bring that about more quickly, it's happening in other places in the world, and it's increasing more and more. Around the world, in the Muslim countries, more and more Christians are being killed for their faith. And so, who knows? Maybe before He comes to take us, we may be called to demonstrate that kind of faith also. And again, God is faithful, and He will do it in us also. We can rest in that. But the salvation that we enjoy, the communion that we share in today, is only made available through the cross work of Jesus Christ. I am amazed at how that is suppressed today by the enemies of the cross. And they're doing it under the guise of being religious. But they're denying the power that is there. They're denying the cross of Jesus Christ. Without the cross, there is no salvation. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, there is no salvation for us. If Jesus Christ is not raised from the dead, we're still dead in our sins, and we have no hope. But He is raised. We know that. He's alive today, and He is the only one. And we should not be ever ashamed to testify about that glorious truth. We don't have to be abrasive in it, but we do need to be bold and confident in our faith. And the depth of His love for us should help us understand and appreciate and embolden us to share it with others. I just can't find words to express what the Lord Jesus Christ suffered before the cross. That he was willing, he shared, he thought it was not robbery to be equal with God. But he humbled himself. He gave up the glory of heaven. He gave up the continuous adoration of the angels and became like us. Took on the form of a human and came to this earth and then suffered by the hands of his creation and then died the cruel death of a cross. Do you have a grasp of the price that he was willing to pay so that we could sit here today confident and rejoice in the marvelous gospel of the cross? And so when Paul talks about the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, thank God you're not perishing today if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Thank God that the preaching of the cross is not foolishness to you, it's music to your ears. And it wasn't always that way. Remember when Peter preached it? When Peter preached it at Pentecost, it wasn't a glorious thing, it was a crime. He was pointing his finger and telling the Jews, you've murdered the Christ. Stephen said, you killed the Holy One of God. It wasn't a glorious message until it was made known to the Apostle Paul how that Jesus Christ has died for your sins. That he shed his sinless blood. He who knew no sin was made sin for you. Can you imagine that? Let's think about our own lives here. We really enjoy doing good to others. But most of the time, we really enjoy doing good to others that we like. That others that maybe will do something back to us. We don't do it for that intent, but that's how it sort of operates. We do something good, we give somebody a gift, and what do they feel right away? Oh, I got to give them something back. I wish they wouldn't give me a gift, because then I got to give them something back. Well, that's not the way God's love is. That's not the way God's gift is. He gives it freely without any cause in us whatsoever. He provided his Son to die for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sin of the whole world. When we were yet sinners, when we didn't deserve it, when we had no claim or no right to it, God made this marvelous gospel of grace known. And by his grace, we stand or sit here today secure in his Son, having been sealed with the Spirit of God onto the day of redemption. We have no fears about our security. We have no fears, or we have full assurance of our faith that nothing in all the world can ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And that's the kind of attitude that we should approach every day with. No matter what this day brings, I'm focused on something that transcends this day. I'm focused on something that transcends this life. I'm focused on something that transcends existence, because we have an eternal hope, an eternal future in Jesus Christ. And we have now been translated into the spiritual realm. And we have, in that process, we have passed from darkness into light, from death into life. We are actually, actively involved in a spiritual warfare. And even though some of us may be oblivious to it, it's going around on around us. And we need to come to grips with there is no hope for this world apart from the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to establish his kingdom here on earth. But that's not our hope. Our hope is to be caught off this earth, to be with him forever in heaven. And so today, education has become the God of this present age. And our politics and our government have become the provider. And all of those things. Man is trying to usurp the position of God in every one of our lives. And he's being very successful in those that have not believed. And he's imposing the government and this present evil world is imposing their standards, trying to impose them on us. And we need to stand firm, being established in the truth and being able to give God all the glory in every circumstance. And the Apostle Paul is a wonderful example for us to see that. We don't ever find him condemning the society that he lives in, condemning the practices of that culture or something like that. He condemns sin in the flesh, but not the present social norms or anything like that. He just doesn't take it on, and I don't think that's our responsibility either. As believers in Jesus Christ, I believe we've been called to share the love of Christ. We are his ambassadors. We are his stewards. We stand in his place today, testifying about him and all that he's done for us. And so we can awaken to every morning with a joy. I must admit, once in a great while, I go to sleep with a burden on my mind or on my heart. But I usually wake up with a whole new, fresh day ahead of me. Unless I've caused a problem that I have to make right, I can usually awaken and things again are refreshed, and the mercies of the Lord and the grace of God is present again, and I've worked it all through rest, and I'm filled with thanksgiving and thankful for another day of his grace. But it would not bother me in the slightest to not wake up. It would be a good way to go in your sleep, I believe, or in the rapture, either way. But I just pray that you're eager for that too, that you're not trying to have... I don't have a bucket list. I don't have... My only thing in my bucket is to be with him forever. And that can't come soon enough. And so there are some things. We're headed to Hawaii in about 5 weeks. And I'm very excited and thankful to go see my son and his wife and our grandchildren. But I'm not so excited about going to Hawaii. That's a long ways away and it's a long trip. That doesn't thrill me. But going in the rapture excites me. What a privilege that's going to be for us. And what a joy that's going to bring to every believer in Jesus Christ. All that this world has endured for its history will be wiped away in an instant and will be with him face to face for all eternity. That's what his death on that cross provided for us, and to God be the glory for it all. And so while overflowing with thanksgiving for all of this, we need to also be continually reminded about how blessed we are with the cross work of Christ. And today, it's not popular, but that cross work is all about sin. That's why he had to come. That's why he had to die. Because of the sin of Adam and the sin of each one of us. And he came that we might find redemption in him. And so we never want to get away from that fact, because that's not popular to preach today, because it's foolishness to those that don't know him. It's not enjoyable. We just had a chance. There's a man in our resort that made a statement something like, "Well, I'm getting older and I know I'm going to be coming to the Lord pretty soon, so I better clean up my life." And so I gave him, one day, I gave him a set of verses to read. And I haven't had a chance to talk to him about that since. But I think he really believes that, well, I'm going to church now and everything's going to be okay. Well, it's not by what we've done that's going to make it okay. It's by believing what Christ did. But to believe that, you also need to believe that you needed it, that you were a sinner, that you are a sinner, and that you need to be redeemed. And that's why Christ did it for us. And so I pray that every person here today knows that in their heart, and then we can start to rejoice in what God has done for us. So let's again look at our passage in Ephesians here. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to begin with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You could also say, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And why? Because He hath blessed us. He has blessed us in the heavenly realms, or with every spiritual blessing. How does it say it here? He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God did that for us. Who is the us? Those that have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. In this particular letter, it's to the saints which are at Ephesus. But the saints that are at West Valley Grace Fellowship, we too can read into that's us today. And so, again, I want to emphasize, how many blessings did He bless us with? Every spiritual blessing. We are not, our process here as believers in Jesus Christ is not to gain God's blessing. We already have every spiritual blessing. He blessed us with it already in Christ. And then it goes on to say here in verse 4, according as He hath chosen us. God chose us. And when did He do that? He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. God chose us in Christ before He ever created the world. I was guaranteed to be saved, even though it required something from me. And what did it require from me? Faith. But the faith that I have, I'm of the opinion, came by the work of the Spirit of God. When God shined His light into my heart, He illumined the truth of the gospel to me. And all I did was believe it, because it was true. It was the Spirit of God that shined His light, or God the Father shined His light into my heart, and I saw the need to be saved, and that Jesus Christ had provided the means through His shed blood on Calvary. And so He chose, I believe, me in Christ before the foundation of the world. And He predestined us. He predestined me to be adopted as His son through Jesus Christ. The word predestined means to mark out limits or to lay out beforehand. And so, before He ever created the world, He chose me in Christ, and He predestined me to be born into His family, but not just as a babe, but as an adult son. He predestined us to be adopted. That word adopted means to be son placed, or placed into His family as an adult child, with all the rights and privileges that come with being an adult in a family. And so He blessed us, He chose us, He predestined us. And this was all done in love, as it says here. In love He predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. He did it for Himself, to Himself. And it goes on to say that according to the good pleasure of His will. It was His desire, it was His will, and it pleased Him to do it. So every believer in Jesus Christ is a benefactor of this through God's grace, but it pleased God to do it. I don't know if we could say it made Him happy, but it was for His good pleasure. It was His desire and it pleased him to save you. And boy, how thankful you should be when you, if you go out into this world and talk to people, how few really understand the gospel of salvation. It's just not preached today very much. It's preached about what we're going to do for God. We're going to bring in His kingdom. We're going to get out and evangelize the world. We're going to commit our lives to Christ. We're going to ask Jesus into our heart. We're going to, whatever we're going to do. Well, all the things that we're doing really aren't to the praise of the glory of His grace or to the praise of His glory or to God be the glory. It's all about what we're doing for the glory of God or for God. We're doing stuff for Him. Like that little saying, this life will soon be passed, and only those things done for Christ will last. Well, that's just not scripturally sound doctrine. It's only those things done by God or by Christ that will last. And so it's not what we're doing for Christ, it's what Christ is doing in us and through us, for us, and for His glory. And that's all part of this marvelous message. And so it's all to the praise of this glorious grace which He has freely given us in the one He loves. Let's look a little bit at Philippians chapter 2, because this describes a little bit about what Christ has done to redeem us and how we should respond to that. Philippians chapter 2, and beginning with verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, the name that we're not supposed to mention, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Again, I pray that every one of us knows what that's talking about, that we can give all the praise through Jesus Christ to the glory of God the Father. As a result of the hard-heartedness, now this is another thing that has really made me sort of sad and thankful at the same time. Because of the hard-heartedness of Israel, Jesus Christ came into the world, and with the revelation in Scripture up till that time, Jesus Christ came into the world to save His people. That wasn't us. That was Israel. He came onto His own, and His own received Him not. He came into this world, He said, I've only come for the lost sheep of the nation of Israel. And the fact that God had kept this marvelous gospel of His grace secret, hid in Him, He never made it known anyplace else. There is no references to the gospel of the grace of God outside of Paul's writings or until Paul was converted. And so all that time when Jesus Christ walked on this earth, He told His disciples, don't go in the way of the Gentiles nor the Samaritans, go only to the lost sheep of the nation of Israel. It was only through their rejection of their Messiah and their King and their Savior that Jesus Christ, who had died, was buried, and rose again, and now ascended into heaven. And the next thing in the Scriptures would be His return. He would come again and set up His kingdom here on earth. That was the only revelation in the Scriptures. He told His disciples, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again. He would come back to this earth, that where he is, they may be also. He wasn't talking to us about that. When you start to see the difference between Christ's ministry with Israel and Christ's ministry with the church, the body of Christ, when you start to see the difference between those two, that starts to overwhelm you again with God's grace. For if it were not for that, we would be subservient to Israel for all eternity. We would be their servants ministering to them in the kingdom. But now by the grace of God, we've been given this exalted position as members of the body of Christ and members of one another for all eternity. That's part of those blessings that we have enjoyed, that he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. And so let's look at Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. Here's Paul's prayer, and it's for the Philippians, but I think it's also, we could say it's Paul's prayer for us, excuse me, and also it should be our prayer for one another, but particularly for each one of us, that we'd understand what he's saying. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Excuse me. The Apostle Paul is saying that we need to have knowledge and judgment about what we've been blessed with. And he goes on to say, being that ye may approve things that are excellent. And what are, when I used to read that, I was thinking, things that are excellent. Well, what does that mean? It basically means, when we read it, things that are really great, excellent things. But that's not what the Greek word means. The Greek word here means that ye may approve things that differ. That they would have the knowledge, that they would have the judgment to make decisions about scriptural truth and understand the things that differ. And boy, that's almost lost today in the religious world or in the Christendom, that people don't see the things that differ. They don't see that when Jesus Christ walked on this earth, he was a minister to the circumcision. He was here to redeem his chosen people. And it was only with the revelation given by the ascended, resurrected, exalted Lord Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul that we have become aware of what Paul calls his gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And so going on here where he's reading this, and I'll begin with verse 9 again. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. As believers in Jesus Christ, we have been filled. That word being filled makes it sound like a present tense thing, but actually it's a perfect passive verb, which means all believers in Jesus Christ have been filled with the fruits of righteousness that came through Jesus Christ's sacrifice on Calvary. So every believer in Jesus Christ has been made the righteousness of God through faith in him. And so every believer in Jesus Christ today is filled with the fruit of righteousness. Now, also, that should manifest itself, like he said here, that in love. I don't see where it... And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in these knowledges, that the fruits of righteousness our security in Christ, the riches of His grace, all these marvelous truths that we have will cause our love to abound. And when we have love, there's an action that accompanies love. That love is not just a gooey thought or something, you know. It is an attitude that causes us to behave a certain way. To give is more blessed to give than receive. And to, like Paul, the great suffering he was willing to endure. But most of all, like Jesus Christ, who is willing to give up His glory to come to earth and to walk among us. And so this is the gospel of the grace of God, and this is the gospel that is to be preached today. The glory of the God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, not about us at all. And there's more as we move ahead from eternity past when He chose us and predestined us. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He chose us in Christ. He predestinated us. And He now has brought us to this place in our lives. Today, right now, every one of us as believers in Jesus Christ has been created in Him to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. And it should be, first of all, that we have obtained an inheritance in Christ, that it has impacted our lives, and we come to a place where we're willing to present ourselves back to Him, knowing the price that He paid with His shed blood to redeem us. What little time we have on this earth, whether it's another day, another year, another 10 years, 20 years, or if we live to be 100 and some, almost God forbid. But however long we're here, we should live to the praise of His glory and His grace. And so as we prepare our hearts now to celebrate in communion, I ask the men to come forward. And while they prepare the elements and pass them out, I encourage you to spend that time in private prayer, just committing your life to God, presenting yourself to Him, being filled with joy and thanksgiving for this great salvation that we have in His Son. And so as the men come forward, I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 the instructions that Paul has for us, where he got this from. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 23.